We're very happy to have Lynn service once more. He'll be showing slides, so make sure you're where you can see the screen as easily as possible. The name of his subject is Many Cultures, One Spirit. He had asked to do with his trip in Europe, and we've heard quite a bit about some who've been over there and how much they enjoyed, and we have some more to enjoy on that. Lynn?
You've had a lot of good food at this convention, and we need time to digest it now, to put it in our heads and mull it over and think about what we've done. And so this morning, I thought we'd catch up on another side of our life, Christian life. The fact that how sweet it is when we can be together with other brethren. If you read the book, 1994, I don't know if you have or not, Harold Camping, who owns Family Radio, is one of our most prominent people in the area where I live. And actually, his comment and his conclusion is, this is our last day, brethren. September 5th, sometime between September 6th and the 15th, he believes that the rapture of the church will take place. And commenting, many, many have quit their jobs and followed after him. Reminiscent of what was talked about earlier in the 1800s with the Miller movement. But given that we realize the time may be very close for all of us, how precious it is when we can think about the fellowship of our brethren and how much it means to us. So today, what I want to do is take you on a journey. You've heard about some of the journey. And in the Vesper, you heard about some of the brethren. We want to share with you a dream because it was quite significant and I think has given some lasting effects to many of us. Let me read you one excerpt from something that was written last January when everything began. When Daniel Ivaniak, some of you may know Daniel, was with us last September in the States, he shared his dream to have a Polish-English seminar in Poland using leaders from North America. We thought it was a good idea, so we helped him send letters of invitation to those who might be in a position to attend. We focused, incidentally, on those who would be attending the international convention. So this is an integral part of it. When we thought about this, we looked at it, one of the lessons that we take out of this is when the Lord presents an opportunity for you to serve, never take it lightly. And always think about it and mull about it, because as difficult as it may sound, you may have some very good lessons, and you may be part of something that the Lord deems very important. Now, I think all of us want to make a difference in our lives, and that's really why we've entered in the Lord's service. And if we're willing to do that, the Lord will present us many opportunities. Not all can do everything. Not all can travel. But the Lord finds opportunities for each of us. So when something is presented before you, one of the lessons we learned is always think about that and what it might do for you. I need to have the slide projector turned on. Oh, okay. I think it's turned off there, Bob. Sorry. Yeah, if somebody can just flip the switch in the back. Tim, I'm sorry to say, but we found the secret to all these lights. What we're going to talk about is two things that took place, and mainly the Polish American Seminar. But an integral part of this is the International Convention, because it was something that led us up to that. The International Convention, as you know, was held in Poitiers, France, this year, where it was 2 years ago. You know, another lesson we took as we went on this trip was the difficulty sometimes, and we realized, especially as we went to Poland, the difficulties of communicating, because all of us have different languages and things that we say that are not always easily translated or understood, even by those who may speak English. And one story I'd like to tell you about the International Convention, as we look at that, which took place between the 6th of August and the 14th of August. The receptionist where we met, this is a program that you've seen, I'll talk about that, but the receptionist where we were spoke very good English when we gathered. But one of the things she asked us, and she asked one of the brethren, and she saw the theme text for the convention, was she asked, "Do you practice animal sacrifice?" Strange question to ask us. I don't know how many of you have ever been presented with that question. She said, "Pardon? Do you practice animal sacrifice?" I said, "Well, no. Why do you ask?" "Because the theme that you have, the scripture that you have on your convention, is without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." So it shows you the difficulty sometimes which we encounter. And that was one of the tasks we had to conquer as we took on this trip. One of the things that you see at the International, the program we had, as you heard the report earlier this week about the brethren in Romania, the brethren in Ukraine, you note that this year, what especially was significant, was that we did have brethren from the Ukraine on the program and brethren from Romania speaking. One of the things we found is that, as was mentioned, those brethren have the same ideals, the same goals, the same concerns, the same topics. You see here one, the topics was on humility, another one on rejoicing in the Lord, other things we had, offerings for sin, all those things which are so dear to us are dear to those brethren as well. And for 6 days we gathered in convention at the Hotel du Furoscope in Poitiers, France, in a little area probably about 200 miles, 200 kilometers from Paris, about a four-hour drive in a place called Jean-Éclan. As the brethren arrived, you'll see the convention chairman this year was David Stein. And one interesting thing happened to David. The convention chairman has great responsibilities. But with David, 3 days into the convention, David was sitting preparing his notes to speak at noon to give the announcements, and he had a terrible attack of kidney stones. David actually ended up going into the hospital and spending 2 days there. Fortunately, the French brethren could go with him, guide him through that experience. But it shows that you never know what can happen to you at any one time. And an important thing that he learned as you go, to be prepared for the many things that can happen. Oh, incidentally, Sam Stalder, that many of you know, Brother Sam from Germany, who many call the Carl Hagensick of Germany. Sam and Anik Stalter do a great work in Germany, and Sam is the primary contact for many brethren here, the Dawn, the Herald, many to carry on a lot of the work that happens in Europe. The brethren arrive, and I'm sure many faces that you recognize, the American brethren arriving from Paris on the bus, French brethren arriving, and David Sutrick, that many of you know here from France, in the foreground. And it was a time for many to rejoice and make new acquaintances. Young people arriving from Poland, discussing many important events, including how are we going to spend all of our spare time this week. The convention secretary, Michael Nicora, in the middle, gives instructions, very important part of all this. And one of the difficulties you always have is finding a way to get into your rooms. Well, as it happened, it was a long walk for some around rooms, and so some of the young people found a unique way to get into their rooms. You can see here Aaron and John Stein finding a shortcut. That wasn't too bad. Several of the adults used it after they found that they had that way. And of course, as I mentioned, David and Kathy very integrated in running the convention. And a help desk, very important for brethren that have to gather and get information and learn about what happens. I realize many of you cannot travel to the international, but I think the important thing to remember is we sometimes define our movement and the truth movement, the Bible student movement, in the context of our own country. And I think as you see the flavor of the last few days with what you saw from Romania and what we hope to bring you here, that it incorporates much more than just us. And sometimes the things we think are so important and the things we carry out here are very limited as far as the Lord is concerned, because He has much more in mind. He has a development far beyond our limited scope that's important for us to realize. And one of the nicest things about an international convention really is the fellowship that we find and the brethren that we see. Here some of you may recognize the Allens, who now live in Germany, moved from New Jersey a couple of years ago. Very important because Brother Sidney is the only elder in his class in Germany, and very important part of the development of the brethren there. Brethren from France, U.S., Rick and Roberta Bust, that you may recognize here. And of course, as was mentioned earlier in this week, the group that touched our hearts, the French and the Romanian brethren, Ludovian brethren, all talking, as we mentioned, and fellowshipping in sweet fellowship. And it is an important part, the fellowship, but it's also, besides the fellowship, the stories that may come out of some of our efforts. One of the highlights we have in the convention fellowship, one of the unique things we had at this convention especially, was an interview section where we interview different people from around the world with unique experiences about what they have. And it always moves us with the way the Lord works in different ways. One of the most moving things we had this year, I think, at the International Convention, was a story that came from someone who is right here with us. And I've asked Brother David Rice to recap what he mentioned and an experience he had in his travels, as you know, to serve the Lord, was mentioned at the International. It involved his travels in Pakistan. And it's about how the Lord overrules our life as we look at any of these opportunities we have to engage more actively in His service. So I've asked David to come up and give some brief comments to tell us about the experience he had that I think certainly gives us the feeling that the Lord is working in many ways we do not know about.
Well, dear brethren, some of you will remember that there was in 1993 a convention at Jerusalem, something that the brethren enjoyed very much. And it gave us the opportunity, since we had some time off from our work as well, to travel to visit some brethren in a variety of countries. And among our travels, there was one country we had the option to stop in at no extra plane charge. And so I took advantage of it. It was the country of Pakistan. And I had but one name that had responded to some literature, you know, some years before. And I didn't know quite where to find him or quite what else I would find there. So I got into the airport. I asked the taxi driver, as I usually do in a strange country, to take me to a low-cost hotel. And that night, spent a night that convinced me I must move the next day. And so the next morning, I packed up all my belongings, traveling quite light, and I walked the street. I'm in the main city that I'm not at all familiar with. And as I'm walking, I asked the Lord a little prayer that if there was something for me to do for Him here, that He would perhaps guide my steps. A few moments later, I came across a taxi driver on a side of the road, and I paused to ask him if there was a Christian church nearby. And he said yes, and he directed me down the street to a large steeple, and I recognized it would probably be a cathedral, so I asked him if there would perhaps a Protestant Christian church nearby. And he said, yeah, there is one a few blocks away. I'll take you there. I said, well, how much would that be? He says, no, I'll just take you there, no charge. Well, that's the first time in my life I've ever had a taxi driver offer a no-charge excursion. And this gentleman was Muslim, but they have a code of hospitality which he was following through on, and he was delighted to do it. I paid him something over his protest, as it turned out. He took me to the church. It was a large church. I went into the front door and introduced myself to the people at the desk. And after about 10 minutes of discussion, the gentleman wanted to introduce me to another person who was leading a 4-year seminary course at their church for young Pakistanis who spoke English to assemble for a 4-year service. And so I spoke to him for a few minutes, and he said, would you like to lead the next session? Well, of course, I said, yes, I would like to do that. So we had about an hour presentation with the students in English. We covered the binding of Satan, the thousand-year kingdom, the two salvations, and really got deeply into the truth, and it was just a lovely session. It flowed very well, and they responded very well. And these are people that are not new to the scriptures, but have studied carefully. And afterwards, of course, in private discussions, we got into hellfire and the Trinity and all the assorted doctrines, and really just had a lovely time. And we have contacts with them yet remaining that have by mail, and one young man there who was thrilled that we would have a study on the tabernacle, a book just on that, because that was his main focus of attention. I was thrilled to receive that later in the mail. He then subsequently took me to that one contact who I had otherwise no way really of locating. We spent an evening with their church and spoke to their church group that evening. The first time I've ever had anybody tell me after a service that two people were saved, but interesting situation. So we're looking forward to continuing our contacts with them. They've asked us to come back, and we may have an opportunity to do that in the next year. If so, we ask the Lord's providence to overrule some fruitage.
Probably the group that touched all of our hearts the most, I think, were the brethren from Moldova and the brethren from Romania. We had several opportunities to meet with them, I think, as was mentioned. Ruth Cunningham, as you know, is one of the few that speak Romanian and did a great deal of work besides Sister Betty Precup that was mentioned the other evening. But one of the interesting things that came out of the discussion with the Romanian brethren was we were asking, had an opportunity to ask them many questions about their country. And they kept encouraging us to come to Romania. So one of the brethren from the floor asked them through the translator, how many of you would speak English so that we can get by? And there was a few that raised their hand. And Tim, you may know the older brother. I can't remember his name. The old wise brother that looks like my wife's uncle. That's all I can remember. Delightful, delightful person. He raised his hand. He said, I would like to ask you a question. And he threw a through Sister Betty, of course. And I'm losing my flashlight. I don't know if we have another one or not. Okay. No, I'm fine for right now. So one of the questions that was asked of, he said, I would like to ask you a question. And the question was, how many of you out there speak Romanian? One person raised their hand. So the brethren there are, again, a delightful group, and I think very quick-witted, and just like you and I. And I think here you see the brethren that were gathered, and many of them just a delight. So the brethren made their way back and forth to the meetings, to the meals, groups from all over the world, and you see the stickers that we have. Thank you. Right. That indicate which language you speak, and so we were able to do that. But one of the key highlights, I think, that gives you the thrust of an international convention is the choir and the part that that plays in it. Every international convention, there's a choir put together made up of brethren from all over the world that are attending. And one of the delightful things we have is to be able to sing in the different languages. Now we struggle a bit, and it's always nice to have those who can sing in different languages, but we'd like to give you a flavor here of the kinds of things that you would hear. We're going to sing three songs, one in English, one in French, and one in Polish. And you must excuse our language pronunciation, because in our choir, we have one person that really, truly speaks Polish here. We have one that truly speaks French. We have Agata speaks Polish and Randy Garlick speaks French. But realize that at an international convention, you have many brethren. But part of the fun is being able to sing in everyone's language. So we're going to do just a brief bit of these songs here, because they're songs that you generally may not hear in this country, but that reach out across the nation, across the nations and across the lands. So if we could have the lights up. First, we'll do one verse of the Polish song, one verse of the French song, and then two verses of the English song.
Thank you.
We left the convention, now on our venture into Poland, to engage in what we wanted to do. But we spent some time in fellowship, first at the home of Daniel Wozniak, which many of you may know, in France, and spent a day with the Ecclesian Lamerlay. Daniel and Elaine Boulier, who lives next door, are largely responsible for the activity and the work there. And you see at this convention, Brother John Treziak. He's still John Treziak until we get to Poland. Then he becomes Brother John Trichek. So, gave a discourse here, and we took an afternoon for rest and recreation and lunch before we would engage into our journey into Poland and the seminar. And I think you see the sweet fellowship continued here. Some of those who went on the trip with us, and you'll see later, Michael Nakora, Wade Austin, and David Rice, and his journey would part from us in France. Joyce Lagno, Michael Brand. It was a time again for renewed friendships. Virginia Wozniak, that you see, Jean-Marc Boulier, all very much a part of the brotherhood in France. And the Sunday meeting at Lamerlay was again a distinct pleasure for all of us. It was the largest gathering of that class that had ever been there in Lamerlay on that day. So we left the brethren there and now engaged on our journey into Poland. The Polish English seminar was a dream. And I'd like to read a little bit about how we entered on this trip from the words of one who had put it together. And at this point, we also had Carmela and Ray Luke join us, who would go with us into Poland, but who would part and visit the Polish brethren there, as you heard. We were faced with a situation, how do we get to Poland? We had to get through Krakow. And so it was determined that the best way to do that after many months, which started last January, of exploring various options, that we would have to rent cars in Berlin and drive into Krakow. And it would be a journey of perhaps 12 hours altogether. But if you saw the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that's exactly what we did. We left on a train, and we got to Berlin to rent our cars and go on from there. I'd like to read you a little bit about the dreams of the one who put this together, Daniel Wozniak, and what he had hoped to accomplish. The first objective for the brethren is that they be language teachers. Only after that can they be preachers. If the language is too complicated, there will be no communication. Daniel's purpose in this, his objective and his hope, was that he could encourage the young people in Poland to try translating English truth literature into Polish and not be afraid of being translators for any of the English-speaking brethren that come to visit Poland. As you may have heard, the Polish volumes are in an archaic kind of Polish. It makes it very difficult for many of the brethren in Poland to read and study the volumes. So it's heavily involved with studies from the Dawn or studies from the Bible, discourses from the elders. And one of Daniel's dreams was to produce a crop of young people who could tackle the literature coming from America and provide more opportunity for the brethren in Poland, who are great in number, to be able to study some of the writings that we have available to us here. So Daniel wanted to make sure that we understood that. We needed to make sure that we would communicate in ways that everyone could understand. So one of the things we said, let us all agree that if anyone, and particularly the leader of discussion-oriented session, uses an uncommon expression, a 50-cent word, or speaks too fast, some person can say, I don't understand. What does being in left field mean? You may not realize it, brethren, but that's a very much of a difficulty as you go from one place to another to understand that expressions that we always have and take for granted as we rattle them off, even in the truth, become difficult for many. This is a group of brethren who journeyed into Poland for the seminar. You see the Nikoras here. You see the Austins from Los Angeles. Now the Tricheks from Grand Rapids. The Lagnos, Paul was sick when we took this picture. The Grices and the unrecognized face for some of you, the man with the beard there, that's my wife's father, Bill Beyer, who also tagged along on the trip with us. But it was very interesting, as we journeyed into Poland, the American young people that went along, incidentally, we wanted to show you here. This was a group you may not recognize in the far left, Bart Sawicki. Bart is from Canada, was actually born in Poland, moved to Canada, speaks fluent Polish, fluent English, and met us at the seminar. But others that attended were Nathan and Stephen Austin, Rachel and Aaron Grice, Jamie and Jody, Treziak, Sherelle Hagensick, Karen Earle, John Stein, little Michael Katerva, Ray and Carmela's grandson, and Holly Chupik. So this was a group of young people from America who would tackle perhaps the biggest culture barrier that they had ever faced, not knowing really any of the Polish young people, spending a week with them to try to bridge this gap and try to bring to them an understanding of our views of the truth and to incorporate their views. Now, I know many of you have not been to Poland, and you may think about a backward country, but we found a delightful place. The roads, as you can see, going into Poland are very modern. Many places, four-lane highways, are building a lot of new roads there. And so the driving was very much easier than we thought it would be. After we picked up our cars in Berlin, that is, we had a lot of difficulty. When we got off the train, we rode the overnight train from Paris to Berlin. And we knew that the car station was somewhere. We had an address, but we really weren't sure where it was. So when we got off the trains, we piled what seemed to be insurmountable amount of baggage. We never knew how we would get them into the cars. But I guess we trusted in the Lord's providence there that somehow we would be able to squeeze all this baggage into six cars with 23 people. So Brother Michael Nikora ran off to find the location where we would rent the cars. And we had an address of the car place on our itinerary. So we said, well, it's a little ways away. We have to take taxis. So we grabbed six taxis, went over to a hotel to try to find the car rental agency. There's only one place that will rent you cars to drive into Poland, because the theft is so great in Poland of cars, especially by the Russian gypsies coming in and taking them back and selling them into Russia, that you must only rent cars in Berlin to go in there. That was the only place we could find them. So he went off to find it. We ended up taking six cabs all the way over to East Berlin, what was the former East Berlin, only to find out at this car rental agency that, yes, this is the address, but your cars are actually at the other car rental agency close to the train station. We found out we were a five-minute walk. So after about 2 hours of waiting, we finally got our cars. And here again, the Lord blessed our efforts, because as it turned out, we were afraid of getting the very small cars. And as it turned out, the Lord blessed us giving us a van for one of the cars and a station wagon where we could pile a lot of extra luggage. And after Brother Ray Luke struggled with the van a little bit, decided this was too much for him to drive, we switched around a lot of drivers, but it was a wonderful trip that we had and a wonderful drive. One of the benefits that we had, of course, was to have Sherelle with us, who could get us through the Polish, because we all traveled with our dictionaries, but none of us were good enough to really make it through. But the roads, as you see, were very good into Poland, except for one thing. When we got close to the Polish border, you see the trucks lined up here? We measured the trucks. They're lined up for what would be equivalent of about 5 miles at the Polish border. It's very easy for cars to get back and forth through the border generally, but trucks, actually, in part because of the goods that move in and out of Poland illegally, trucks are inspected, detected, and as in Alice's restaurant, sometimes rejected. So you see the site as you approach the border from both ways, the trucks lined up at the border. But our journey was quite comical. In fact, that we had the meeting point from a young brother from Poland who was going to show us in. Eric, what's Eric's last name? I'm sorry. Anybody remember? Yes, Eric Zida was going to show us, but it was late when we got there. We had no idea where the hotel was that he was supposed to meet us. It was going to be a motel along the way. We went there. We said, this is not the motel. We couldn't find it. So we said, let's pull in along the way at this rest stop. We need to use the facilities. We can get some coffee. And it was about 11:30 at night. And Paul and Joyce Lagnell says, we'll go back and we'll see if we can find the motel where we think we're going to meet, as we got outside of a little ways outside of Krakow. And as they left, here comes a car pulling alongside the road. And it turned out that it was Eric and his sister in the car. And he said, I thought I might find you here. We've been driving back and forth at the different places along the road to think where we might find you. So it was midnight. It was quite a welcome sight to get in and to see a friendly face that would take us in into Krakow. So we left from there and we went to the across the Polish border. We got to the home of the Dombecks. Now, this may look on the outside quite cold, but some of the effects of communism are still quite prevalent in Poland. And you see the buildings in many cases are still sometimes not painted, dark colors. But yet inside, don't let it fool you, because the inside of the home was very, very nice. The brethren had a three-story house. 24 of us stayed at the Dombeck's house that night as we prepared to go for the seminar. And here you see Margaret Dombeck, who is also called Gosia, preparing for us a wonderful tea and other things we had. So it was Lord's overruling brought us in there. And we took the next day, because we knew we would be involved with the seminar, to visit somewhere where everyone perhaps would like to go, but a bleak reminder of the horrors of war, Auschwitz, which still stands just outside of Krakow, as a reminder of what happened in World War II. If you can't enter read this sign, it says, you are entering a place of exceptional horror and tragedy. Please show your respect for those who suffered and died here by behaving in a manner suitable to the dignity of their memory. And it was true as we entered Birkenau to remember how the Jews were brought in here in trains. If you saw Schindler's List, you may recall this is one of the scenes that was shown of the Jews being brought in cattle cars to Birkenau. And here they were immediately put in the barracks and destroyed. Those that were fortunate perhaps were put in Auschwitz. The sign here reads in English, danger, high voltage. A stark reminder that despite the attractiveness of the buildings, perhaps the things that you see there, there were many, many tragedies that took place. The German sign that approaches, you can't see here, Arbeit macht frei, work makes you free. A stark reminder that it made many free of their life. The streets in Auschwitz today look like any streets, but the guard towers remain. And a stark reminder is the Wall of Death, where 800 Jews every day were executed. The crematorium and the gas chambers, stark reminder of the many millions that died, not just Jews, but gypsies, perhaps some brethren, those who were religious, all facing a terrible, difficult death. But our purpose was really to go to the seminar and to have a day and a week of fellowship with many, many brethren. Daniel Ivaniak, many of you may recall his face. He was here last September. Daniel's dream to produce a group of young people who could truly bring the benefits of the truth to Poland. He went through a very lengthy screening process to find the right young people in Poland. One of the requirements is they had to be good in English. This whole seminar would be in English. We would find that many, many who were not comfortable at the beginning, by the end of the week, found themselves very comfortable. But the studies that we focused on were those that would be of great help, perhaps in sort of bringing together our two cultures. One of the studies we had was on Bible student terminology. And it was very interesting where we put together the terms that we use as Bible students in the United States. Say, how do you use these terms? Are these terms you use, and how would you translate them into Polish? One of the interesting drills that we all had was, can you define each of these terms in a very brief statement? And I'd encourage perhaps some of you, it's a great thing to try to do sometime in your own ecclesias or classes, to take some of the terms we use that are not necessarily always scriptural terms, but to be able to define in different ways. This was one of the studies we had. Also, as was mentioned before, a chart of the ages study, to make sure we all identified things the same way. And one of the efforts was translating a hymn into Polish, some very practical use. You'll hear in a little bit the translation of that hymn. Also translating a written discourse. Brother Michael Nicora was to give a discourse in Krakow that Sunday. And so 19 different groups translated sections of that discourse. And they actually then gave that discourse with Michael in Krakow on that Sunday. Again, one of Daniel's efforts to bring the brethren together and the ability to be able to handle the language. We gathered in a place called Lance Corona. You can see a beautiful place in the countryside where King Casimir began this village as a retreat, and the people that lived there benefited greatly because they received everything free because the king was there. But yet it's still in many ways a backward area. You see here the people travel, some of the people still travel by horse and cart. But we gathered in a youth hostel that you see here at the end of the street where we could have a quiet getaway for a week. And one of the others instrumental in carrying this out was a young man called Daniel Halecha. And Daniel was the doer, while Daniel Ivaniak was the dreamer. Both of them together spent a great deal of time screening and getting together the brethren for this concert. Our cook, Sister Teresa Dabek, a delightful person, and I think one that any of us would identify with. And I'd like you to meet now those brethren, that young people that were at the seminar. Ella Rishniak, I'm going to mispronounce some of these names, and Agatha could pronounce them much better than me, I'm sure, knows these personally, from Krakow. Ivona Kratzik from Krakow. Darius Bivalik from Krakow. A delightful young man who led much of the work in singing. And some that you would recognize, Kasia, Kate here from Chernow, Sraka, and Sherelle, of course, you see there. And from the Ukraine, Adriana and Sherelle, I forgot her last name again. Zoriana, okay. And others you see, this again, from Czestochowa, Ella Kratzer, Adriana again, she from the Ukraine joined us. No one really knew her very much. She came with Sherelle from the Ukraine and added delightfully to the seminar. But one of the things that some of the others that you see, Eva Pervin from Bialystok, who I called the equivalent of my daughter Rachel in Polish. They seemed to really click, and she reminded me a great deal and showed us that things are not so strange after all from land to land. And to show you that the young people there, same as here, the Tom Cruise t-shirt. and so two other delightful young men. This is Emek Skob, and some of you may remember Brother Henrik Skob that's here in the States staying and traveling with Brother Carl Hagensick. His two sons, Emek and Daniel. And our oldest member of the was Jan Lickwitz from, where is he from? Can't remember. Yeah, the Oligard. And so he was the oldest member of our group, 55, but had a great desire to attend this English-speaking seminar. A great deal of our time was spent in meetings and discussions from Germany, Liliana, I can't pronounce her last name, Sigadevich, I believe it is, Marta Pudo, delightful young Marta, who spoke the fastest Polish and the fastest English of anyone I've ever heard. Ivona Krotzik, Peggy Liberta from France, Michael Pavlefi from Kortsov. And our time in studies was devoted to looking at the Lord's Word and working on many of these efforts. And finally, everyone took their opportunity to present their findings, and speaking before the groups in English was very much a part of this. One of the most interesting studies we had was on the cultural differences. This proved to be a very intriguing study to find out where were we alike and where were we different. And I've asked Jamie and Rachel to take a few minutes here to give you a highlight of what we found were some of the cultural similarities and differences of the Polish and the Americans. So we have the lights for just a minute.
Okay, first of all, we're going to demonstrate the difference between the American and the Polish greetings. This is how the Americans greet each other at a convention. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, and this is the Polish way. Jamie! How are you? Blah, 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 blah. And this is really awkward for the Americans at first because they like their personal space and the Polish really don't give it to you. But after a while, you get used to it. Okay. Another thing that they also do in Poland is they stand a lot. For the songs and the prayers, the whole congregation will stand, not just the individual praying. And when someone's reading a scripture, they individually stand. Okay, and another difference is the head coverings. This is not an issue in Poland. All the women wear head coverings regardless of their age or if they're consecrated or not. And their entire head is covered, and we wanted to show you the difference between the type of head coverings. These are what most of us Americans wear, and almost all the Polish women and girls wear this type of head covering. Okay, everyone is very accepting in Poland. We found that the minute we walked in, people were coming up to us and hugging us like we'd known them for our whole lives, and they're very, very accepting of all the brethren. And another thing that we found was that almost all the young people are very musically inclined. At the seminar, someone was always playing some type of instrument when there wasn't a meeting going on. And at the seminar, we had many acoustic guitars, an electric guitar, a bass guitar, a harmonica, a violin, and a flute. Also, when we receive love, we usually raise our hands to send the love back to those brethren. In Poland, when they receive love, all they say is dziękujemy, which means we all thank you, and they all say it. And the final thing we wanted to do is this is a custom that many of the young people do at the camps and the seminars. And this is done before and after we eat. Before we eat, it's kind of a rhyme. And one person will stand up and they will say Shesteti, which is numbers 3 and 4 in Polish. And then the whole rest of the group will say Schmatznagel, which means good eating. And then after you're done, before anyone can leave the table, someone stands up again and says, Shesteti, and then the whole group says, Dziękujemy. But we wanted to demonstrate this for you because it's not that simple. You have to do it the exact way the person says, Shesteti. So I'm going to say Shesteti in some kind of way, and then Jamie has to say Schmatznagel in the same way. So
yeah,
I'm gonna
everybody
say,
do it.
Okay, so when I say Shesteti, everyone say Schmatznagel the exact way I say Shesteti. So, Shesteti.
Schmatznagel.
Okay, and then when we're done eating, we'll do Shesteti.
We say
Dziękujemy.
Thank you. Perhaps we could try that at lunch. Let's go on. The cultural differences were broken by introducing baseball to Poland. Daniel had wanted this badly. And it was so funny for all of us because they had no idea how to play baseball. And the first day we were there, it was chaotic. No one knew what to do, where to go. Why do I run here? Why do I run there? But by the last day, you can see here we were a well-organized group. And here you see Ivona getting ready to hit the ball. And the challenge was given to us as we left. Next time you're here, it's the Polish against the English. Well, we took time to go to the meeting in Krakow. And you can see here the meeting hall, the brethren there. There were 200 brethren gathered that day. After the meeting, we had lunch. One of my greatest fears at Krakow, I was asked to give a discourse that morning because they wanted to have two discourses. I had one with me that said, we'll have someone translate for you as you speak. And the person they selected, many of you know, is Anna Grugin. And Anna is just the most wonderful English-speaking person you've ever seen, teaches at the University English. My greatest fear was that I would say something really stupid that she couldn't translate. But we got through that, and so the brethren at Krakow, again, took us around the town, the Libertas that you see here, a delightful group, a delightful city, the St. Mary's Church that you may remember from Schindler's List, the Jewish ghetto where so many were delivered. And you may recall this scene from Schindler's List where the suitcases were piled as they were driven out of the Krakow area. And Schindler's factory where he put so many brethren, or put so many Jews to work. Very touching sight for us. But the greatest thing we saw about the seminar was the desire for music and to celebrate. And here you see two brethren, Peter Kubik and Marek Ivaniak, leading the singing. Peter was a delightful young man who was majoring in music and had just put together a tape of Polish choir that they had rented a place for 3 days to do that. Christian Dombeck, who played a great harmonica, and Adam Perwin, who all the girls loved. But practicing hymns was a great deal of what we did. And one of the secret weapons we had was Kate's sister, Gosia, who translated Lord of Reality into Polish. Well, we don't have time to play the songs here, but I'm going to be playing a tape during the intermission of something we worked for, and that was to provide a witness in the city of Lance Corona in the way of music. And that was something the young people worked on all week in translating the hymns into English and singing in Polish. And you'll hear the difference between the music that we have here and the music that they have if you listen to this after the session. The momentum that we see gathering around the world of brethren, places that we never heard of, places we heard of but could not go to, now we can. Those brethren are with us every day in our thoughts and in our prayers. And it's up to us to broaden our horizons, to get out of our little cubicles of defining the truth and defining it in terms of where we live. And even if we can't travel, to remember that there's a global mass brewing of brethren. The Lord is finishing His work, and He wants you and I to be part of it. The brotherhood is waiting for us. Will it be part of you, or won't it? The anxieties and fears that we all had faded fast. We all spiritually grew. And at the end, we all understood why what would be hesitancy and uncertainty about whether we should go on this opportunity convinced us that the Lord changed our lives with this trip. The Lord can change your life with any kind of a service opportunity. And again, the lesson that we got was not to take lightly the things that the Lord gave us. Our trip home was again an amazing trip. We set off in our cars. We took the overnight train from Berlin to Frankfurt. We only had one shortcoming. When we got on the train in Frankfurt, we were there 3 hours ahead of time, sitting with our Eurail passes. And we got on the train, looked for our sleeper cars, and we found them full. Well, we found out that we actually had a reservation for the next day. So, a lot of work, 2 or 3 hours, proved that we all found a seat, at least because we had our Eurail passes, and we were able to get what was a few hours sleep that night, but no one really cared. I think we were all happy, convinced that what we had done would change a lot of things in the truth for years to come. We have commissioned the idea of now beginning and starting an international seminar that would bring together young people, not just from Poland, but from Romania, from other places around the world, because this is our future. The Lord is bringing us together in ways that we never knew about. The experiences you heard from someone like David and his trip to Pakistan, the trips to Romania that you heard Tim speak about, our trip to Poland, bringing everyone together. And so we were blessed, we were touched, and I think we'll all never be the same. And I looked for one picture that would summarize that week and what we felt and what we experienced there. And I want to leave you with this as we close, because I think it shows the bringing together of the West and the East. Remember, we had 1 week with these brethren, but in that week, just as was mentioned,